Welcome to Healthy by Choice, a broadcast designed to bring powerful healing into your life today. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program offered across the country and around the world. You can learn more at chiphealth.com. But now, get ready to enjoy some proven results and priceless benefits. I'm your Healthy by Choice host, Charles Mills. What happens when a company, a large company, decides that it not only wants a healthy bottom line, but a healthy workforce as well? The answer is that the bottom line gets even healthier itself. Just ask the management of Cummins Diesel Company, headquartered in Columbus, Indiana. I've got the chief medical director overseeing the well-being of their 65-plus thousand employees scattered throughout the world on our show today. Dr. Dexter Cherney, welcome to Healthy by Choice.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, Dr. Cherney, let's begin with a little history. When did you first start making the connection between healthy employees and healthy profits?
Well, it dates back for a number of years. There's actually been some pretty good research out there that really makes that connection and that link for us. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's taken a lot of employers some time to actually start to implement programs that can actually act on that knowledge and make some improvement in their workers' health.
You know, I don't understand why it would take people so long to figure this out. You know, if a person is sick, they're not going to do well at work. They're not going to come to work. Why is it so difficult for some corporations, not yours, thank goodness, but why is it some corporations are actually hesitant to get involved with the wellness of their employees?
Well, that's a good question. It probably has to do with a lot of employers thinking that the wellness of their employees is being taken care of in the community through the hospitals and through the health insurance plans that they pay for. Yes. For their employees. And so the thinking is that, well, what additional things do we have to do? Well, there's a lot, but again, some employers were perhaps not making those connections earlier on.
Employers, of course, are very interested in safety. They want to make sure that the work environment is safe. So you're introducing here a new type of a task for an employer to make sure that it's not only safe there, but it's a place where their employees can become healthy as well. What are some of the things that you have done, Dr. Cherney, at Cummins to increase the bottom line by increasing the health and wellness of your employees?
We've done a lot of things. For a number of years, we've had disease management programs where employees had the opportunity to work with a health coach and learn various techniques and tactics to improve their health. We've also, for a number of years, had on-site clinics, clinics that are actually within walking distance of several of our plants. Now, the focus in the past has been really on occupational health. So when an employee is hurt on the job, more or less acute kinds of injuries, then they can go over to those sites, and there's a doctor or a nurse practitioner there that can take care of their injuries. What you're starting to see, though, now, Charles, is that in addition to taking care of those acute injuries that happen at work, is that we're now using some of those resources to talk about chronic conditions, diseases like diabetes and heart disease, those chronic conditions that are directly, as you know, related to lifestyle.
Yes, yes.
And that's really where the opportunity is now.
Now, Dr. Cherney, I want to get personal here with you. When you graduated medical school, you did not know what you know now. I can just guarantee you this, because this was not taught, and it's just now beginning to get taught. How did you personally make the transition from what you knew, and that is treating symptoms of people with diseases and treating diseases themselves, to the whole concept of prevention through lifestyle, through nutrition, through the way we live our lives? When did you personally start making those kinds of changes?
I started making these changes about 10 years ago. It's an excellent point. I think someone did some research, at least this is the number that I hear, and across the board, in terms of training in medical school, it's only about 3 hours that physicians get on nutrition and lifestyle issues. And a lot of the training is on things that are the most extremes of malnutrition. Mm-hmm. So, for example, scurvy and rickets and things like that. But in terms of the actual lifestyle practice, we don't really get a lot of training of that in medical school. And it's funny that you ask. My boards are in preventive medicine. Mm-hmm. And so you'd think that a preventive medicine doctor, certified, board-certified doctor in preventive medicine, would be one of the best in terms of understanding some of these lifestyle issues. And in fact, I wasn't. And many of my colleagues are the same way. For me, what happened about 10 years ago is that I happened to be the chief medical officer for a disease management company. And one of my jobs was to put together a physician advisory group. Now, you'll like this. I had the wisdom to invite some lifestyle medicine doctors to serve on that advisory panel. Mm-hmm. So in addition to people out of Harvard and Johns Hopkins, I also had people such as Hans Diehl and Clarence Ng from Weimar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when these people came in and started to talk about true lifestyle medicine and the power of lifestyle medicine, I was converted. And in fact, I had high blood pressure. I had probably metabolic syndrome. Everyone in my family is a diabetic. And so I was headed down that path myself. I had high cholesterol for sure. I was on medication and not well controlled. And here I am, a physician. And here I should actually understand these principles. Sure. But it wasn't until I started to associate it with these guys that I decided, you know, let me try this for myself. And once I did that and my cholesterol fell, my blood pressure went down, my glucose was normalized, I became converted. And that's when I really got excited about this and really set on this path.
Now, there must have been something, Dr. Cherney, that made you do that, to bring in a Hans Diehl, someone from Weimar, someone who is into nutrition. Were you looking at your life? Were you looking at the medical profession and seeing that there is something actually missing? Did you make that determination before this?
I did. Well, again, going back to the research, if you look at the research and you look at the conditions that drive the cost for health plans, employers, whether it's private employers such as Cummins, or whether it's government employers or the government, you know, paying through Medicare or Medicaid, it's really these chronic conditions that are driving the cost. It's not the people that, you know, fall down and break a leg, or a person that has the episodic appendicitis or something like that. That's really not what's driving the cost. It's these chronic conditions, as I mentioned, such as heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. Mm-hmm. And we also know that those conditions are preventable. And so if those conditions are preventable, then why am I paying for any of this at all?
It's true.
Right? So it really begs the question, can we get in front of this and then really start? That's really how you start to bend the cost curve. And so that's really what really compelled me to put together this advisory group, and with good result.
Let me digress just slightly here. There are medical professionals who listen to this program from time to time. We know that because of response. How do you tell your fellow physicians that, you know, they didn't tell you everything you needed to know in medical school? There is a whole area out here that we are missing. How do you do that in a way that's kind and loving and motivating for them to say, okay, let me bring in a Hans Diehl. Let me bring in a complete health improvement program into my sphere of influence here to try to help my patients. How do you bridge that gap?
Well, I think for every physician, it may be a little different, but I would make the appeal that be open to the concepts. And the good thing, Charles, is that this is not voodoo medicine. This is not something that is on the fringe. We are talking very basic and fundamental principles. You know, eat properly, get enough rest, exercise enough. I mean, these are things that people kind of get. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people don't know how to go about it. And so that's really the training that has to go into this. And there are organizations out there. There's the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, mm-hmm. the American College of Preventive Medicine, that are now adopting a lot of these principles. And so what I would tell my colleagues is start to acquaint yourself, become familiar with the literature, the data, attend webinars or conferences put on by these various groups, and look at the literature yourself. And again, it's peer-reviewed literature in some of the top journals in the country. And when they start to do that, they will really start to see the power of this. And then try it on themselves, try it on their patients again. You know, one of the other things that's kind of interesting is that if you look at all of the guidelines that physicians have, you know, there's a guideline for how to control cholesterol, there's a guideline for hypertension. Almost every one of those guidelines talk about lifestyle. It's usually the first check the box, if I can use that phrase.
Sure.
So it says, you know, tell your patients about the lifestyle changes they should make. And then it talks about the drugs and the medications that you can give. I was just looking at one recently on high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And the first thing says, you know, talk to your patients about lifestyle. Well, the problem is we as clinicians often just go right by that first box very quickly. Mm-hmm. We don't spend a lot of time with it. So practitioners of lifestyle medicine, we are going to focus and spend time, do a deep dive into that lifestyle category before we move on to that next conversation about medication. Because again, if you're really able to do some things in that lifestyle box, you don't need those medications.
Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll come back and talk with Dexter Cherney, medical chief of the Cummins Diesel Company in Columbus, Indiana, a little bit more. So stay right where you are.
I thought life was just great. I felt well. And then, bang, I got told you've got 6 arteries that are blocked and 99% blocked. And so that was a bit of a surprise. I had to have 5 bypasses after that. After getting over the operation and what had to happen there, I went back onto my normal diet, which I thought was great. I had a good diet, I thought. Went back and had blood tests, and I was surprised. My cholesterol was raised, blood pressure was up, and at that point I was introduced to the CHIP program. I went onto it immediately. Straight away I thought, I have to do this. Within 2 months of going on the CHIP program, my cholesterol was halved, blood pressure was down. In fact, I had to lower my blood pressure pills because I was getting dizzy. So, hey, that was great. And then that's allowed me now to get back into the things I love. 2 weeks ago, I got back on the bike. And one thing I really noticed, when I used to bike before, I was always out of breath. I went out 2 weeks ago, I hit the hills, I didn't even get a sweat. I was doing some marvellous riding, you know, getting back on the bike, biking with my friends, living life to the full. To me, my life is just beginning again.
To learn how you can recharge your life, visit chiphealth.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Dexter Cherney. He is Chief Medical Director, overseeing the well-being of 65,000+ employees scattered around the world of the Cummins Diesel Company, and they're headquartered in Columbus, Indiana. And Dr. Cherney is one of those doctors that gets it. He understands that there is more to medicine than treating a disease and working with symptoms. There's some prevention in there, too, and also helping the patient learn how to self-treat. And that's so vitally important, especially in the workplace, because we're busy people out there. Dr. Cherney, let's talk bottom line here. How do healthy employees impact your company's earnings? And let's have some actual numbers here.
Well, they can do this in a number of ways. There are several metrics that you can look at within an organization such as ours to sort of make those determinations. One of the things, I think it just makes sense that, again, we're talking lifestyles, that things such as getting good rest and sleep. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about that in terms of productivity, productivity is measured with absenteeism. That's one measure of productivity. Certainly, if people are not at work, then they're not being productive. But this other measure that people are talking about now is presenteeism. And that means that's lost time on the job. You're there, you know, it's as my mother used to say sometimes, lights on, but nobody's home.
Yes.
So, the employee shows up to work, but they're really not engaged. They're half asleep. They're sort of doing their job, but they're really not fully there. They're not fully engaged. And so a lot of these things that we learn and we do in lifestyle medicine actually then will produce greater productivity, greater presenteeism, less absenteeism, and that's good for the corporation.
Sure.
And one of the ways that we talk about this is that we want to do things that help you do better and feel better on the job, as well as do better and feel better at home. So what's good for us is also good for you. So it's not just because this is that any employer's some selfish organization, they're just trying to squeeze the most productivity out of their employee.
Right, right.
No, this is something that's good for the employee as well, so that during their recreation time, the time with their children and their wife, they can also enjoy that to its fullest as well. To get to your point about the hard numbers,
yes,
we do know, and there's been research out there for a long time that shows that if you look at the risk factors for employees, those that have the highest risk factors tend to have an excess, what we call an excess cost to the plan, of anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000. These days it could probably be a little higher because, again, some of that research is dated, it goes back. But a lot of that was done through the University of Michigan, and a person by the name of Dee Eddington did a lot of that groundbreaking research. And so we know that if you can reduce these risk factors, again, through lifestyle, that you can improve your bottom line.
Hmm. When did you start using the Complete Health Improvement Program? Now, you say you brought Deal in a decade ago. Did you start using the program, and how effective has it been over the years?
I haven't used it at Cummins yet.
Okay.
We're in the process of doing that. I've actually only been in this particular role for about a year.
Uh-huh.
Where I did use it was in my previous position at Vanderbilt University. I was in charge of benefits there as well.
Uh-huh.
And so at Vanderbilt University, we did pilot programs using the CHIP program. And I can tell you, we published some of our results, and in fact, we saw a return on investment for a diabetic population in about 6 months.
Wow.
So the return on investment was pretty dramatic, and it occurred quite rapidly. A lot of people believe that these lifestyle programs, it takes years, if not decades, to see the return on investment. But we were able to show with a high-risk, high-cost population, you can see these results immediately. We had diabetics that actually we were able to reverse their diabetes. They came off all of their medications. People that were on insulin for a number of years, sometimes 10 years, were able to come completely off of all of their medications.
Wow. Wow.
And so that's really where the cost savings occurred, because now we no longer had to pay for some of these expensive medications. As you know, some of these drugs are very expensive.
Yes.
Oftentimes employees don't realize the full cost because they're only paying the copay.
Right, right.
And so they might pay $10, $25, but the actual cost of the drug could be $300, $400, mm-hmm. even $1,000.
Mm-hmm. I've often said that, if you want to heal the nation, take everybody off of insurance. Let them have to pay for it themselves. There would be some major changes rather rapidly. Let's talk about Dexter Cerny. Now, you mentioned at the very beginning when you brought Deal in that you had and your family were suffering from a lot of these ailments. Has there been improvement on the home front?
Oh, there's been dramatic improvement on the home front. Yeah, As I mentioned, I'm on no medications, and I'm older, obviously. I'm a decade older than when I started this
yes.
course. The same thing with my wife and some of my cousins. And so that's good. Now, I have to admit, not everyone in my family has adopted this, but we'll keep working on it.
All right, that's fantastic. We're talking with Dr. Dexter Cherney. He is the chief medical director overseeing the employees of the Cummins Diesel Company in Columbus, Indiana. These employees, 65,000 of them around the world. And that's quite a task for this man to do, but he's up to it, and he's using what he learned at the Complete Health Improvement Program to do just that. Now, Dr. Deal told me, Dr. Cherney, that you don't seem to be satisfied making the people in your workforce healthier. You've got your sights set on an entire city. Tell us about your passion to bring health and healing to Columbus, Indiana. How are you going to go about doing that?
Well, the way we're approaching that is we're talking to the city leaders, the mayor, city government. We're talking to the Chamber of Commerce. We're in conversations with a number of the Rotary clubs. And I can't take full credit for this. Dr. Deal was gracious enough to come and help me with some of these conversations. Mm-hmm. But the real goal here is to make the entire community healthier. Our employees are part of the fabric of this community. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to make some of these lifestyle changes if you're in a community that doesn't support it. Mm. There's a saying that you can't put a changed person in an unchanged environment.
Mm.
So if we're successful in changing these people with inside our corporation, and then we send them out there, and all they can find to eat is McDonald's and, you know, unhealthy food,
yes,
then it's just a matter of time before things revert back. So we want to do as much change in the environment as we can. Fortunately, the city seems very open to this, and I'm very optimistic in terms of some of the things that we'll be able to do.
So are you actually going to restaurants and stores and giving them suggestions for healthy eating?
We will. That's phase two. We first have to create a critical mass of their customers,
yes,
that are actually wanting that kind of change.
Mm-hmm.
So once we have that, well, then it will make sense for the restaurants to change. You know how it is. If the restaurant changes ahead of time, no one orders those menu items,
true,
and they make no profit there, and they'll take the menu items off. So we have to make sure that we have a critical mass that really want those items first.
Wow, this is important. What you just said there is vital to our listeners. If you, listener, want to have a change in your community, Dr. Cherney is teaching us, and the CHIP program is teaching us, and we're learning here that we have to spearhead it. We have to go in and say, could you please make that whole wheat bread? Could you please bring the oil down? Could you make some meat substitutes here? Could you possibly make a menu for those of us who want to be healthy? Because if you're doing that, if you are leading the charge, then the commercial world will follow along behind you. Am I on the right track here, Dr. Cherney?
Absolutely. Couldn't
wow.
have said it better.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
<Very good. laughs> Now, let's talk about the future. You know, you were if you were making these suggestions 10 years ago, you were at the beginning of this swell that's happening here in our world. Are you seeing changes happening not only at the grassroots level, which is becoming obvious, but also at the top end, in the medical schools, in the training that doctors are getting, in the wellness programs at different companies? Are you seeing the idea, the concept, that chronic disease can only be fought with lifestyle changes?
We are, and I'm really happy about that. One of the advisors that we work with is a physician out of Harvard named Eddie Phillips, and he does a lot of work with the bodies that accredit medical schools and that decide what does the medical school curriculum look like. He's been in Washington, D.C., and representing lifestyle medicine, and has done a great job and has actually started to move the needle on this. So I think that, you know, in the future, you're going to see more and more of this incorporated into medical education, and that helps to change the future as well. The other thing, too, is in the past, there really hasn't been reimbursement around a lot of these things. You know, doctors get paid for doing procedures. If I put a stent or do a heart bypass for your coronary heart disease, I get paid very well. But if I tell you to eat broccoli and stay away from the French fries, I don't get any money for that.
So what you're seeing apparently is not income, but income for your heart and for your mind, that you're bringing healing to people.
You know, one of the things that has changed this landscape, uh-huh, is that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid services, CMS, is now paying for lifestyle programs.
Hmm.
So that's a sea change. And in fact, one of the founders of lifestyle medicine, Dean Ornish,
yes,
out of California, has a program, a cardiac rehab program, that is based on these principles of lifestyle medicine, and the government is now paying for those programs. And so I think because now there's reimbursement tied to this, that you're going to see more and more of this in the future as physicians learn these things and also have a means of getting paid for them.
Well, we just have a couple minutes here left on this program, and I want to leave our listeners with real motivation here. If an employee says, you know, man, I need some help here, but I would sure love my company to get involved in helping me be healthy, what can that employee do? What can they say? How do they approach management of their local company to help them bring wellness programs into their workforce, which then, of course, increases the health of the community?
Well, there are a couple of ways they might do that. Unfortunately, a lot of organizations, we call this the silo effect,
yes,
so that you have people that are in charge of certain things. And oftentimes things are related, but it's not obvious. For example, I would say go to the leader of your organization who's in charge of benefits and talk to them about the programs that they have in place and where the gaps are in terms of what's in place and what they really need to offer along this lifestyle training. Have those conversations, but also talk to the people that are in charge of the money side of the organization too. Again, we mentioned productivity and absenteeism and presenteeism. And so if you can unite those two forces, and the other group that I didn't mention but is also involved in these conversations is the whole group in terms of workers' compensation, disability. Again, all of these organizations have an interest in this message, but oftentimes they don't see that, how they work together. And if an employee within the organization can sort of bring those folks together with this message, then you can really start to see some movement within the organization.
Well, that is very encouraging. I think that we as employees, we have some powers that we need to bring to bear in our work area, in our workplace, that can help not only make it a safe place to work, but also a healing place, a health-building place. And that is by following some of these things ourselves and then sharing what we learn with our employers as well. Dr. Dexter Cherney, you have given us something to think about here. You have motivated us in some pretty profound ways, and I appreciate you being with us today. Thank you, Dr. Cherney.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Dr. Dexter Cherney, medical chief of Cummins Diesel Company in Columbus, Indiana. I want you, listener, to visit our website. That would be www.chiphealth.com. There you will find material that you can use to also go to your company. There are other people that can help you on that website as well. You will get connections with them to bring healing into your workplace, and I recommend that you do that. That's at chiphealth.com. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Dexter Cherney, inviting you to be healthy by choice. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about Healthy by Choice, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. You can also email us through our website at 3abn.org.